It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So far this year, there have been 43 homicides in Milwaukee, 191 reported rapes, and more than 2,000 aggravated assaults.
Investigations for violent crimes are maybe the most sensitive thing that police departments deal with. Grieving family members who are often witnesses have a lot of questions without easy answers.
Earlier this year, the Milwaukee Police Department hired two victim witness specialists to help crime victims and their loved ones navigate the criminal justice system. Dakota Krenz and Selena Zanuzzi are the first people in these roles. They both held similar jobs with the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. Selena and Dakota, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Also with us is Captain James Hutchinson, commander of the Milwaukee Police Department's Homicide Division. Captain, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Selena, let's start with you. You work with people dealing with one of the worst things imaginable. The people you're working with and their families have been victims of violent crime. What are some of the biggest challenges they face in working with police?
I think sometimes not understanding police procedure and feeling like maybe they're not getting as much information as they would like about the investigation up front. That is a challenge. Sometimes people are displaced due to the incident that's happened, and trying to work around that is also a difficulty sometimes.
Is it hard for, in terms of police procedure, does it feel sometimes that it's not moving fast enough for them?
I think sometimes families may not always understand why things have to happen in a certain way. And when things are fluid and happening quickly, and sometimes emotions are running high, it's really hard to come off of that emotion. People are not always able to readily accept information as it's being explained to them simply because of the trauma that's happening.
Hmm. You are connecting the people you work with services that they need to live and survive. Can you talk about what you're helping them with?
A lot of what we're doing is connecting families with grief support resources, information about next steps that would be happening. For example, the autopsy, how things work at the medical examiner's office, maybe some of the future planning that they may have to consider when laying their loved one to rest. We're then also trying to connect them with grief resources and other needs as appropriate, whether it's housing or food or toiletries. Every case is a little bit different.
Dakota, in this time of grief, how do you initially approach people you work with?
I think it's always a matter of approaching people with dignity and respect, as we're coming to them on potentially the worst day of their life, dealing with that trauma and that grief. So really just being as transparent as we can with people, given the limitations that we have during an open and active investigation, and also explaining why to them we can't necessarily provide answers. I think sometimes that helps if it's not just a hard no, but if it's a no because of this. And then also just treating everybody with care and kindness, and just recognizing that everyone is doing the best that they can in that moment.
How is transparency? Are you able to give these families answers that they're okay with because something unimaginable has just happened to them?
I think that's on a case-by-case basis, as everyone processes grief differently. Mm. I think all or most families obviously want to know what happened and why. And so we do our best to give that answer when we can, when it's appropriate. And in the meantime, we explain why we can't give that answer quite yet. But we do try to remind families that their loved one is never forgotten, and that we are always trying to get them justice.
Captain Hutchinson, why did the Milwaukee Police Department create these positions of victim witness specialists?
Well, we realized that we had an opportunity to really improve our communication with our community members, including our victims' families and our victims themselves. Oftentimes, we are very much asking questions, expecting answers during our investigations, but we're not always there to be responsive and to fill those gaps of communication back to the families, kind of explaining the process. And we, for years, have realized that this is something that we had to fix. And in the recent past, then we developed the idea that we needed to have victim witness specialists to bridge that gap. And we did that over the course of the past few years. And then we were fortunate to be able to bring Selena and Dakota on, and they really have hit the ground running to help with that communication that the detectives aren't always able to give. Part of it is the fact that, you know, detectives are investigating, they're out there, they're doing follow-up, they're trying to solve the crimes, and they're not always available sitting at their desks when people call and want that communication. So oftentimes people perceive that nothing's being done when in fact it is being done. So we're filling a gap, and Selena and Dakota are really just treasures to our department at this point.
Mm. Some of these victims, they are crime witnesses. What issues do your detectives face when trying to get information from victims?
So a big portion of that is trust, and it might be trust just in the community itself of the police, trust in the process that they're going to be cared for through the process. Being a witness to a crime isn't something that somebody wants to ever be, but oftentimes when people do witness crimes, we expect them to now enter the judicial process and be available to us through that process, through the court system.
Selena, how does this trauma, especially this outreach to family members, how does trauma affect people after witnessing a crime?
It can come out in a lot of different ways. Some people shut down. Some people are in a little bit of denial, and who could blame them? Something horrible has happened, and they're still really trying to wrap their head around what's gone on. And in some cases, or many cases, people have a lot of questions. I think that's something that we probably see most frequently, is people really want to know why. And unfortunately, that why isn't always readily available. And even if we did find a logical explanation for things, I don't think the why is ever fully answered for anybody. That kind of loss just can never be fixed.
Dakota, we heard the word trust. What do you do to try to build trust between the officers and these crime victims or witnesses?
I think one way to build trust is not to overpromise and to make sure that you do what you're going to say that you're going to do. So if I indicate to someone that I will follow up with them on such and such date for such and such reasons, then I will do that. If for some reason I don't have all of the information that I thought I would have at that time, I will still touch base with them because they are expecting that communication from me. And if I do not follow through on what I indicated to them, then I can't build that relationship and rapport.
We're talking with Milwaukee Police Department's two new victim witness specialists, Dakota Krenz and Selena Zanuzzi. Also with us is Captain James Hutchinson, commander of the department's homicide division. Selena, homicides can have major direct financial costs on victims' families, everything from the funeral arrangements, funeral home costs, lost wages, the loss of a family member's income. Victim compensation funds, they're supposed to give some of that relief. Can you, you know, beyond the emotional impact, how do you see the financial impact affecting these families?
The financial impact is very great. All of the things that you've mentioned are very true. They are challenges that families face immediately. And many of the people that come across, we come across in this work, are families who are already struggling sometimes. A lot of hardworking people, they may be losing the person who had the solid job or the insurance. We always try to connect families with crime victim compensation. We'll do home visits. We've gone out to hospitals for non-fatal shooting victims as well, to try to connect them with that resource. If there's anything in the community that we're aware of, we do utilize 211 regularly, along with a lot of other community partners. But it has a significant impact on people financially, which again adds to that mental strain and just overall stress.
Dakota, what would you like to add there about these victims and their financial situation?
I think it can kind of unfortunately present a snowball, especially for non-fatal shooting victims where they have now experienced a gunshot wound or injury, and then that can affect their ability to be employed, which that can then affect their ability to afford housing or to afford food. And a lot of people are presented with those issues today as it is, but then to have that additional barrier and have to mentally overcome an injury and go through recovery on top of everything else is very difficult.
Captain Hutchinson, we've heard about resources really strongly here. How can police do a better job of sharing information with family members and victims and connecting them with resources?
In the past, detectives would perhaps hand a pamphlet and that would be the extent of it. But to have knowledgeable, reachable, and reliable people on the other end of the phone and oftentimes in person to help them through that process. Because as was mentioned earlier, when these events happen, people aren't thinking straight. They aren't ready to logically move through any kind of process at that point. And to have that person to help them along is something that has been lacking in the past. And we are really realizing that bridging of that gap with Selena and Dakota.
There was this 2024 report from the National Case Close Project recommending that your department hire victim witness specialists and use a more trauma-informed approach. Is it hard for investigators to relate with victims? What are the challenges?
I wouldn't say it's hard for investigators to relate. I think it's hard oftentimes for investigators to wear those multiple hats of trying to get to the facts and trying to get to the bottom of what happened while also delivering that trauma-informed care, like you said. Our detectives are great. Our detectives are compassionate. They're passionate. They are professionals, but it's oftentimes difficult to approach all those paths at the same time. And you mentioned case closed. That was definitely something that helped to open our eyes to the opportunities. We did take advantage of opportunities to go visit other departments, see what they're doing, and really learn from what they had done and bring it here to Milwaukee and start this program, which I think is just the dawning of the program and could easily be expanded.
Dawning of the program, what is this vision? Where do you see it headed?
I see it being that we have victim witness specialists available across the investigative arms of our department, perhaps even within our districts, and that we have them available on multiple shifts and off weekends, weekdays, just like we have detectives now. So at some point in the future, I'd like to see it really enhanced and maybe steps towards that. But we are definitely seeing that trust being built in our community through this program right now.
Dakota, how hard is it to be an advocate for these families you're working with, but also maintaining boundaries to protect the integrity of that investigative work by the detectives?
I don't want to speak for Selena, but I think our experience at the district attorney's office really helped build a foundation in terms of being able to work with victims and their families and be able to set the appropriate boundaries and recognizing that, yes, this is a job for us, but also this is so much more than a job, and that we show up to work every single day because we do have a passion for the community and a passion for helping people through the most difficult times of their lives. So I think we've been able to do a good job in terms of and showing up for people in the best ways that we can every day, while also leaning on each other to make sure that we have the supports that we need.
Mm. Selena, how do you negotiate that fine line?
We've been a really good resource to each other. We have good community contacts. We've had great support within the department. I think the biggest piece of this, we both love the work we do. We both care tremendously about the community and the families that we're connected with. It is really so much more than just a job. It is a passion. And we want to make sure that we are trying to find every resource available to assist families in the best way that we can, because people do have to find a way to move forward. It's just going to be at their own pace. And we want to make sure that we're there in a supportive function every step of the way when we can.
Your job is to give and to give and to give in people's hardest moments. How do you take care of yourself, Selena?
I do find that I have a very good support network outside of work. I don't really talk about work outside of work. First of all, I will always want to be respectful of people and families that I'm working with. Our job also requires that we keep these things confidential. Mm. I think just having some outside hobbies that are a little more lighthearted can help. And also setting some time frames, certain hours of the day are just for me. Certain activities I will do just alone. And that helps me personally.
How about for you, Dakota? How do you care for yourself?
I would say some similar things as well in terms of having a good support group, both at work and outside of work. I do also have activities for myself. Selena and I are big dog moms. We love our dogs and we love our dog walks. I would also say that MPD has a peer mentorship program. So if you need peers, Selena, and you need those people for support, it is nice to have them to go to because of that confidentiality piece in terms of not being able to discuss certain things outside of work, understandably so. So we have many tools and resources to utilize ourselves to make sure that we can be successful in our roles.
Captain Hutchinson, Selena, and Dakota, they've been on the job now for a few months. What effects are you seeing from their involvement in this casework?
Well, as you mentioned, it's just been a few months, so we're not going to see an overarching community effect at this point. But what we are receiving are many, many anecdotal report backs from people that have lost loved ones, that have been witnesses to crimes, that are the resources out there, and just the support that they're feeling, the understanding that they now have of the process, and saying just how much they really appreciate what the Milwaukee Police Department's doing. Oftentimes in the past, we would investigate crimes and do a whole lot of work. However, it didn't seem like we were doing much because we weren't talking back to the family and communicating back. Now they're seeing that work. Now they're aware that it's being done. Again, we're not telling them everything we're doing, but they know we care, we're there, and we're getting looking into what happened to their loved one. So it's pretty anecdotal at this point, but everything is trending in the right direction with the feedback that we've been getting.
Well, Captain Hutchinson, Selena, and Dakota, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes,
thank
you.
Thanks for having
us. That was Dakota Krenz and Selena Zanuzzi, the Milwaukee Police Department's new victim witness specialists, and Captain James Hutchinson, commander of the department's homicide division. They talked about new efforts to help family members of homicide victims navigate police investigations and the criminal justice system.